you believe it? The West Coast Fever Grand Final in 2018. They'll go down again. And the moment belongs to the Melbourne Vixens. The one trophy that has eluded them is now theirs.
You betcha, Sue. You betcha it's ours. The Mighty Melbourne Vixens champions on the weekend of Super Netball. I think she might have dropped her mic late there. But anyway, it was a great moment. And it was a brilliant call all through the game in one of the great games of recent years in Super Netball, full stop, let alone a grand final. And Sharon McMahon, an assistant coach with the Mighty Melbourne Vixens, was watching on the couch at home, I imagine, all by herself, throwing things at the TV through the journey of the game. And she joined us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Sherelle, congratulations to you and the girls.
Thank you. Woohoo!
Have you stopped crying?
Yeah, I did cry. That was my first emotion, actually, when the final whistle went. I burst into tears. And I didn't actually throw anything at the TV, but I was throwing lots of words at the TV. And I've got to tell you, it was a really bizarre moment. There's been some bizarre moments across this year in the role that I've held, but probably the most weird was, you know, the excitement and the post-match interviews and celebrations, which go for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and then they sign off, and then there you are in your lounge room in Melbourne going, right, now what? So it was a little bit bizarre in that moment, but I couldn't be more excited. And in fact, I think possibly the most emotional I've been in terms of what a team has been able to achieve than I think I ever have.
Why do you reckon that is?
Just because of what they have gone through to be able to achieve this. Like, I think I saw them go through all the different emotions when there was so much uncertainty before we left. I had said my goodbye speech and wished them well, and that was all really emotional. And then that afternoon, they were supposed to be leaving the very next morning, and then that afternoon they were told, oh, actually, you're not going. So then I had to go back into training and do another session with them, which was a little bit weird as well, after I'd done my big goodbye speech. And then they were told they were going the next day, and then it was postponed again. And then actually it was next week, and then suddenly it was tomorrow. It was just the emotion in the girls, even at training. It was something I've never seen before, actually. And then they're in quarantine and what they've dealt with. I just feel like what they've had to contend with has been done extremely well. And so to be able to win under those circumstances, I think it's very impressive.
It would have been a much unusual
watch.
Feeling.
Yeah. It was a hard watch, even taking out the fact that you're an assistant coach and you're watching it from the couch. Half and I were watching it from our own couches. And it was a hard watch because neither team could get a break. So it was going to go down to the wire. So from the way the game was played, were you more proud of the resilience that was shown, that it was just was more a mental thing than a physical thing in a lot of ways?
Yeah, and they had some great experiences across this season where they've had to dig themselves out of different holes and get things done when it was quite tight. So I think the experiences that they had this year potentially helped them in that situation. But you're right. We literally didn't know who was going to win until there was 7 seconds left on the clock in the final centre pass, which was the Vixen centre pass. Yeah. We were up by 2. And, of course, at the moment with the super shot, two points can be shot in one goal in that last couple of minutes. So, you know, they had to execute even that last 7 seconds really well, because with Janelle Fowler, if they got a quick turnover and hoiked it down the court, they could absolutely score in that amount of time. So the game literally came down to the last couple of seconds. And I just think the way they managed it, if anyone saw it watching at home, we got a super rebound off Janelle Fowler, which is not easy because she's 6'5" and inches taller than any of our defenders. And we held possession. I mean, some of the girls say it wasn't necessarily intentionally running the clock down. It was just the pressure they were under. But we drill that, of course, during training to be able to hold possession. And so to be able to execute and basically play keepings off in a way for that period of time without making an error was really what won them the game.
I must admit, that was the period I got a bit nervous that last bit where we were trying to hold possession. Know, you one little error, one little mistake here, and it could all come tumbling down real quick, Sherelle.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly why I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, just forward at some point. Let's just keep going forward. But, yeah, and the thing about this grand final, it's not unusual to get, you know, around 20 turnovers in a match because, you know, he's only got 3 seconds. It's quite tight quarters. We're traditionally a lower turnover team. That's a negative stat. So that's a negative turnover stat. So to give the ball back to the opposition. We had, depending on whose stats you look at, we had about 11 for the game, 11 turnovers across an entire grand final that was played under such pressure was incredibly impressive. The Fever only had a couple more than that. So you had to make the most of those opportunities. So when those couple came late, and MJ, Maui Kumwenda, who we're talking to later, took a great intercept through fantastic discipline and being in the right spot at the right time. And it was those little moments that added up to get the result by just 2 goals in the end.
Now, I'm going to bring something up, but we've still got to be friends after this, all right? We're still going to be friends, all right?
Oh, God, boy.
Who knows where this
goes? Okay, I'm ready.
I believe that one of the features of the grand final was the two-point shot. It added something extra. It added some drama going into half time where the Fever got the goal to give them some momentum, the two-point goal. And then, obviously, Caitlin Thwaites, who had a few shots at it. We spoke to Caitlin on Monday, and she didn't make them. But then, under real pressure, that two-point shot was really important to give you guys a buffer. And then, obviously, the Fever missed the shot late because they almost needed to get the two-point shot in. I would argue to you, Sherelle, that added a fantastic extra layer to the way that grand final was played, and it should remain moving forward in the competition.
Well, I don't agree with your final statement, probably. I feel like I need a little bit more to... I mean, we've seen it play out. I don't dislike it as much as I thought I would. So I'll give you that. I do think it has added some different aspects to the game, which I haven't disliked as much as I thought I would. Each team shot 3 super shots. So really effectively, each team got 3 extra points or 3 extra goals on the scoreboard. I would argue that in a game like that, even when the goals were only worth 1 goal, that the drama and the excitement would have been there just in the way that many other games across netball's history have been in the final couple of moments.
Yeah, okay. So I'll disagree with that.
It's a pretty good response.
No, it's a good response. It's a good response, but I got a better response back.
He's had time to plan this conversation in his head 7 times, Cheryl. You're getting it fresh.
We saw this a couple of times through the season, but one of the things that I liked the most about it was, Sherelle, that defensively, particularly with the Fever, defensively they got put under pressure in that they didn't know whether to defend the 2 points or to defend the shot under the goal. So it put the defense it put them under pressure and they had to think a lot more. And then from an offense point of view, it made you a lot less predictable. So to watch it as a neutral, essentially, to see that it was that forward play and defensive play was varied and was different, added a new complexion on the game, which I think is healthy for the sport. So it's not just the goal under the goal under the post. We had different defensive formations, different offensive formations. That's surely good for the sport, along with the unpredictability of the scoring.
To say that you're a neutral is a little bit disingenuous, I would say. I think you probably know and have thought about it a bit more than some other neutrals, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you're in for a couple of years. You're not stuck in neutral in netball. I think you're invested because of your commitment to the cause, Wally.
But I will say, I agree with that, and it brings different tactics to the game, that's for sure. And I mean, I think what we've seen is that, I mean, both teams shot 3 to super shots, so it probably doesn't make too much of a difference with that. And I don't know. Fever still had their tall holding shooter. That didn't work. That hasn't won them a premiership for the last couple of years, which I don't think is a bad thing, because I do agree with the fact that I like the longer shots which some teams use whether there's a super shot in there or not. One of the other arguments, Whitey, on your side is it brings another skill into the game, which is that rebounding skill, which when they're right under the post, there's not as many rebounds and it's more difficult to get it off them. And that rebound was basically, you know, such an exciting thing. And it was a great moment in the match that our defenders were able to manufacture that and get us the win.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So you agree with me, and that's good. So, and now we just need it for the entire game, not just for the last 5 minutes of each quarter.
Well, there's where I jump on board.
Yeah, I just thought it was great. I think it's so much better. It's so less predictable.
Don't you think that there's a minor issue there in the score? I mean, some of the scores were already, you know, like 20 goals. So does that mean that they're even bigger than that? I mean, that's one of my worries, that you lose the contest on it. One of
but
the other
but 20's
things
not
that
20,
I
Sherelle, think... this is the thing. That if it's all game, every game, 20's not really 20. 20's only sort of 12, really 10 or 12, because you get two-point shots.
But maybe it's not, because probably the better teams are going to be better at nailing the two-point shots.
We'll get better shooters. Train them up. This is your job.
Recruit varied shooters. Recruit varied attacking options, not just have the same ones.
Do you know what? That's actually a really good point. And what happened this season was that the rule was sprung on us after only 6 weeks before the start of the season. And certainly all the recruiting had been well and truly done by that stage. And there's recruiting being done right now. And in fact, a lot of the teams have already finalised their entire list, and we still haven't heard with any certainty what is happening with the two shot next year. So some certainty around that one way or the other would be really good.
Well, if we're chucking the national captain out of the competition for it, we might as well make sure it stays.
I want to talk about this because there has been a suggestion that Caitlin Bassett has been essentially pushed into another country to play her netball because of the two-point shot. I find that very hard to believe, that she, as Australian captain, isn't going to be playing because the game doesn't suit her. That can't possibly be true.
Well, I mean, I think it's far more complex than that, absolutely. I don't think it came down just to that. I do think that one of the big reasons why she wasn't getting court time was because of the two-point shot, because the two other goalers in the Giants were probably better at shooting from that distance, and the coach perhaps thought that that was a better option at that time. So I certainly think that that didn't help her cause in getting court time. But there are other teams within the competition who had a taller goal shooter and had some success. So, I don't think it was just that. And to be honest, I don't think we know everything that went on in the Giants camp, because I just feel like there perhaps was more to it than just that.
Yeah, and this is the thing, is that you can't have a situation where there are seven other teams that could all have the Australian captain. It's not like it's just the Giants. That the reality is that it can't be just, you know, she can't shoot from range. There has to be a more forensic investigation as to why she's playing in New Zealand, because Netball Australia can't be happy with the captain playing in another country next year and not playing in what's seen as the best domestic competition in the world, because no one wins out of that except New Zealand.
Well, it seems she's the captain
too. That's probably true. Yeah, and I think that's the big point, that she is the captain. It was an interesting timing with contracting over in New Zealand. It was a bit earlier. And here in Australia, none of the teams, apparently, according to Caitlin, could give her any certainty. They were a bit not sure about what they were doing next year with contracting. New Zealand and the Magic that she's gone over to were certain. And so she's thought, that's what I'm going to do, because I wouldn't want to not take that opportunity. And then, you know, it doesn't work out here in Australia too. So potentially, if those contracting periods lined up a little bit better and it was closer to the end of the season, then it may have been easier for her to find a spot here. But as it stands, you're right. That's a big question for Netball Australia to look at as well.
She needs to go on the SAS show and get those crazy guys to grill her to get the real truth as to why she's gone to New Zealand.
You can't handle the truth sort of stuff. Like they did with Chappelle Corby. Chappelle. Yeah. Yeah, I can't see myself watching that. Hey, Cheryl, before we get to the break, because we're going to be joined by Jed Buse after the break from the Cats, we should celebrate Kate Maloney, co-captain, premiership-winning co-captain, who took out the Sharon McMahon medal the other night. You didn't get a chance to put it around the neck. How did this happen? Was there a mannequin-style thing with the Brownlow, or how did it work?
There wasn't a mannequin-style thing. Bianca Chatfield was up in Queensland. She's been doing some commentary with Channel 9. So she was there hosting the function for the girls. It was only a very small function, just basically the team and the staff that were up there. And I just had done a video recording of the announcement of the winner. So it was, I think it was Bianca who actually presented that to us, or Simone. Actually, I'm not even sure who presented that in the end. That's really bad. But it was great. I actually think that Kate was a very, very well-deserved winner this year, given that her sidekick, Liz Watson, was off the court for a period of time with an ankle injury, and she really stepped up and was able to carry the team through in the midcourt through those couple of weeks. And she's just a fantastic leader, and I'm very, very excited that she was up there.
My word, my word. Well done to Kate Maloney, the Sharon McMahon medalist. I'd like to win one of those. It's going to be a little difficult to do so, but I'd like to win one, just to be a part of your world. 25 past 7, we will get to a break. Great to have the world's greatest ever netballer with us, Marwick Mwendo. Going to join us later on this hour as well, after Michael Rodd, the jockey and master of wine. So plenty still to come on The Breakfast Club. Jed Buse after this.